Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Tuesday, the 26th of May, 2020. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello, hello. I was nearly said happy Monday. It's actually Tuesday, isn't it?
Happy Tuesday, yes.
Happy day of the week ending in Y.
I saw somebody recently refer to it as Blur's Day for all of the days, and I feel like we should just adopt that here. So hello and welcome.
I'm here for it.
Yes, it is Blur's Day, May 26th, 2020. Also with me today, I have the other half of the Dream Team, John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Hi, Kelly. Hi, Charlotte. I refer to it as Logical Monday.
Of course you do. Because as our friendly neighborhood robot, you are obligated to do so.
Of course.
So, Charlotte, I actually wanted to start with you and an interesting thing that you noticed last week that gives us a little bit of insight into future Apple, I guess this would be a service, future Apple services.
Yeah, I guess you're right. It does come into the services bit. It's this idea that Apple is looking for someone to lead on developing original podcasts. We've discussed on this show before, I think it was myself and Dave Hamilton, discussed the, you know, a possible move of Apple into that space whereby it would not just be a platform for podcasts, but produce shows itself. And there seems to be, according to a report from Bloomberg that I wrote up at themacobserver.com, there appears to be a move towards that with the company apparently looking to hire someone for this original podcasting who would report to Ben Cave, who is the exec in charge of podcasting at Apple. So, look, it makes sense that if Apple is going to do this, it needs a point person. And I think you've got to say it also makes sense that Apple is going to do this. Apparently, the thing these podcasts will initially be about are either shows that currently exist on Apple TV Plus. So you could have a show about the morning show, say.
Right, or a companion podcast. Whatever form that takes. Like, we've seen, commentary editions of this back in the day with, Battlestar Galactica. You could sit down and listen to the director's commentary version of it. Or companion shows, right?
Exactly. There's loads of shows. I mean, the one that jumps to my mind is Josh Molina doing one for The West Wing, where they go through episode by episode. I think there's one for Scrubs as well. You can see how that would work with some Apple TV Plus shows.
Yeah.
But the interesting second part to this, according to the report, is that Apple might also take on podcasts that could become TV Plus shows. So the flip, the reverse of that, which is kind of interesting. So I don't quite know how that would work. I can't really think of an equivalent example. Maybe you two can. But so that something would start as an audio podcast, I assume an audio podcast, I guess it could be a video podcast, and would be morphed into an Apple TV Plus show, or there would be some kind of spin-off.
John and Charlotte getting coffee in London.
Listen, if that happened,
you joke, but that's absolutely, if John, if you and Charlotte are ever in the same place, that's absolutely going to happen. I'm going to make it happen, even if I'm not there. Yes,
when you're allowed on a plane in 2030, I look forward to buying you coffee here in London.
Charlotte, I have a thought about this podcast system.
I thought you might, John.
You know, Apple historically has controlled the message very tightly through Apple Public Relations. And they're very orchestrated.
That doesn't sound like the Apple.
That's not Apple at all.
Careful, and the message is tightly controlled. But in a podcast, it tends to be more freewheeling. And if it's tightly scripted, you're going to feel it. It's going to feel artificial. If it's tightly scripted, it's going to feel like, it's going to feel cheesy.
Yeah,
but if it's not highly scripted, then people are going to say things that need editing later, and it's going to be a headache.
Okay, there's two things.
That's an interesting point there.
But there's two things going on here. So, first of all, the kind of show that they want to turn into television is not going to be TDO for that reason. I mean, maybe there are a lot of reasons, but that's the biggest one.
I mean, their shows.
This is what I'm talking about. The ones that they acquire to turn into television, Charlotte, you said you weren't sure, and I can think of three of them off the top of my head. The first one is Lore by Aaron Mankey, which Amazon Prime turned into a television show. There are selected episodes of Aaron Mankey's Lore podcast that became television. The other ones I can think of are Dirty John, which was a really interesting set of articles.
Damn, now we're going to have to think of a new title for our show.
It was a couple of articles in, I think it was in the LA Times, that got turned into a podcast that got turned into a television show. And then the other one that I can think of is Serial, because the first season of Serial,
yes, now has a great shout.
Now, here's the thing. Serial, like, John, you were talking about tightly scripted, but these are tightly scripted shows, but they are riveting stories, because the whole point of it is there is a story I'm telling. And
yeah, but they're not about Apple products or Apple services, and that's okay then. But if Apple starts to podcast about their products, and
No, to be clear, there was never an indication that would be the case. Yeah. It might be the case in terms of, here is a show that's on Apple TV Plus, and therefore on our podcasting platform, we're going to exclusively have a podcast that's about our show.
Right.
I don't think you're going to have the...
There's not going to be the iPhone podcast, or, yeah, you know, where we sit around. Like, we're not talking about Eddie Q and Hair Force One sitting around for 20 minutes talking about how great they are. No, I don't, you know, their products are. I don't think that's it. But just to finish my thought, Serial spawned, I think it's an HBO documentary about the case. So
amazing.
There's that piece. So there are, I think that's like, because I know about those kinds of podcasts, I think that's the piece, John, that might be missing, is like, this show is probably not going to be good television. I mean, like,
I very strongly disagree.
We could pivot to video, but you never know. So yeah, stay tuned for the video edition of TDO. But the, like, anything like that, where like the true crime, which is like a massive genre of podcasts right now, like, we're gonna track the story of a serial killer or of a specific crime or things like that. I could see Apple being very, very interested in turning that into television, because there's a whole lot of market for stuff like that. And there are a lot of those kinds of stories. Yeah. And I think there's a lot of room for telling that kind of story. And, you know, if it's lucrative, so much the better. So when are we going to get Podcasts Plus, Charlotte, for $5
right,
a month?
Well, I don't think we know that. But I also don't actually think there would be a Podcast Plus. I suspect the point of such shows would just be as a way of, certainly initially, would be a way of just selling TV Plus more. Mm-hmm. That's my instinct. I don't know necessarily. I'm right. I could easily be proved wrong, but that's my instinct.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I also think we need to put this in some context of what's happening in the podcast industry at the moment. This story came out kind of within days of us learning that Spotify had bought the Joe Rogan Experience, one of the most popular, most listened to podcasts, I think, in the world after this show, for what's reported to be about $100 million. Mm-hmm. It will have the exclusive rights by the end. Like, it will only be available on Spotify by the end of the year. That's a very, very serious play from Spotify. I've done a few articles over the month showing that bit by bit, Spotify's chipping away at Apple's dominance in the podcast market. It hasn't been very significant yet, but it's mm-hmm. a thing that is happening slowly. And this is another big play from
Certainly.
Spotify, and they're really taking podcasts seriously. So now, look, I don't think this news from Apple is particularly related, because these things take a long, both this kind of deal and Apple's kind of move take time to happen.
Right.
But I think Apple is increasingly aware of Spotify's play mm-hmm. and is increasingly looking to stay ahead. Because let's be clear, Apple is the dominant platform for podcasts, as far as I can tell by right. any kind of description.
Mm-hmm. And part of that is by being very open. Like, you can listen to anything posted on Apple stuff. On Apple stuff. You can listen to them on the web. Those things are posted free. So, yeah.
And so to continue to have that strong position, I think Apple realized it needs to move more into the service, into making original content. And of course, it's no longer scared of making original content. It's getting used to being a company that does that. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's always a little bit of danger here when Apple is one company, but there are multiple companies competing against Apple. And every time another one of these multiple companies finds a chink in Apple's armor, Apple needs to respond. And that can be bad. That can get out of control. But in this case, as Charlotte so well explained, because Apple is a podcast leader, they do have to respond in this case. But I worry that in other cases, Apple will follow its own tradition to ill effect by having to respond to everybody who's chipping away at them.
On the one hand, I see where you, well, okay, I see where you're coming from. But I also see where perhaps like the kind of hiring that Apple's trying to do right now is going to be part of what helps them figure out which things are the things to pay attention to and which things are the things to let go. And my hope
that
is that
the smart response. Yes.
Yeah. My hope is that they get to a point where that's perhaps something particularly clever. You know, they've got somebody in there that kind of knows like, Spotify currently has a bunch of podcasts about a particular topic. And, you know, so we need that too. Well, actually, Apple, no, you don't. You know, like, I want there to be the right person in that role to make sure that that kind of, like, they did something we have to respond isn't true 100% of the time. And I would like very much if that were.
Needs to be somebody who says no.
Right. And hopefully this hire will be that person and keep it from happening, which would be fantastic.
I do also think, I just want to make a final point because I know there's other stuff we want to discuss, but we discussed previously on the show how I think the waters have been muddied with Apple, with the variety of products called Apple TV something, Apple TV 4K, yes. Apple TV Plus, the TV app. Now, if you start also making original podcasts in the podcast app, again, you're slightly straying into that territory.
I have a question about Apple Podcasts. What do you actually want to talk to me about?
Right. Yeah. I think it's probably less profound than TV because most people listen to, like, most iPhone users, and there are a lot of iPhone users, listen to podcasts on the podcast app on their iPhone. It doesn't really make much difference. They won't notice if a show is exclusive or not to Apple. But I think it's just another little factor to bear in mind.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely, like, they need to call it podcasts from Apple or something like that instead of Apple Podcasts, because we don't need another naming quagmire like we already have with everything else. Like, I have a question about photos. Okay, what about them? No, I mean, you know, on my computer. You have a question about photos on your computer? Yeah, when I launched the app and it's called Photos. Okay, now we're getting somewhere. And it took three rounds to get there. So, yeah, I definitely need these to have a better name. And I don't care if they call them something ridiculous like Applecasts. I mean, remember how hard we all laughed at Apple calling it iPad? Whatever they call it, it needs to be, as a friend of mine is fond of saying, legally distinct from the other stuff that they call Apple Podcasts, because I don't want to end up down this TV Plus TV app, Apple TV rabbit hole that we're stuck in now. It's terrible and there's no escape. And, yeah, you know, even Apple Maps can't get you out of that one. So it's definitely something
Apple
to avoid.
Apple Maps can't get you out of anything.
That was for you, Charlotte.
Don't set me up so easily. Come on.
I had to. I mean, it was right there. So the other thing we wanted to talk about today, actually, John, was your column on Friday, Particle Debris.
Yeah, the title was "The MacBook Family Will Continue to Evolve." What was driving it was an article by Owen Spence at Forbes. Now, Forbes is a publication that is known to be taking shots at Apple, but there are a few columnists at Forbes who are pretty good. And Spence has done a little bit of digging and has discovered that Apple might have some variations up its sleeve. And one of them was 2021, a larger screen MacBook Air, mm-hmm. which is interesting. And maybe a smaller MacBook Pro, which kind of took me aback. And I didn't know what to make of a smaller MacBook Pro, unless it's maybe one of the ARM MacBook Pros. And then, of course, the customary and necessary discussion of ARM-based Macs in general and MacBooks in general. But what was also interesting was his discussion of keyboard. You know, Apple's just about determined not to let you touch the screen of a MacBook Pro. And what intrigued me was this discussion of turning the keyboard into something a little more special. You know, we've got the touch bar, but and we've got the giant trackpad. But there's some other things that Apple could do, like, you know, make the keys sensitive, depending on which key you press and how hard you press it. That could be another scissors, butterfly, quagmire. But it shows to me that Apple's thinking about new ways to manage and input commands to your MacBook Pro. And they're rethinking the idea about, you know, what sizes they need. Because, like, forever and ever, it's been a 13-inch and a 15-inch and now 16. And so I got the feeling, based on the investigations that Mr. Spence did, that we're in for some interesting variations and technology updates in our future MacBook Pros. Because right now, except for the touch bar, they're pretty like they were 5 years ago.
Is that bad, though?
Yeah, it is, because the technology needs to evolve and Apple needs to compete with Hewlett Packard and Dell and Microsoft and to stay up to date. And
okay, how? Are you going to give me a 19-inch laptop? Are you going to give me...
Well, Apple takes a lot of flack for not being able to touch the screen of your MacBook Pro. There's always some anecdote, some story, some writer will dredge out about how they bought their kid a MacBook Air and he said, "Daddy, the screen's broken. I want to touch it. Nothing happens."
Okay. Honestly, nothing upsets me more than like the that. Idea of touching the screen on a MacBook Pro.
I know. So Apple's maybe thinking more deeply about how to enhance your inputs on the keyboard side of the clamshell.
I'm sorry to interrupt, John, but just on the touching, being able to touch a MacBook Pro screen or let's call it an Apple laptop screen.
Yeah.
I think we call that the iPad Pro, don't we? The Apple laptop that you can touch the screen on.
Sure.
Yes.
Sure.
Especially now that you can hook up a keyboard and a trackpad to it.
They're in healthy competition with each other. And there are people who want one and there are people who want the other.
I don't think it's competition at all. I don't think there's necessarily a decision to be made. I mean, it's very clear. Like, yes, you have to decide on one or the other, but it's clear which one is the one for you very early on in the process. Like, this isn't an agonizing decision. So, absolutely. Like, so here's my question is like, yes, I believe here's the thing. I think, yes, the line will continue to evolve. But I think what you are talking about is revolution, not evolution. So going from iPhone 4 to iPhone 5 or iPhone 8 to iPhone 10 is the thing that you are talking about with laptops. And I'm looking way more at like 4 to 4S or 10 to 10S. Like, I think there's evolution to be had. Maybe they get lighter. Maybe the battery life gets better. Maybe they do find a way to do something more with the screen. I mean, you know, people who had the 17-inch MacBook Pro loved that machine. And I actually know somebody who held on to his 17-inch MacBook Pro until there was a 16-inch MacBook Pro so that he could upgrade to that screen. And I think he's not the only person that did that. So I think there's room for there to be evolution. But I don't need it to be a completely different computer for that to happen.
You know, we always watch out for the Intel chips and what they're capable of, you know, and there's an Intel chip that comes out and it's capable of Wi-Fi 6. And we question, is Apple going to use it? You know, is it capable of 60 or 120 frames per second of video? And so these Intel chips always have their specs. And that limits what the MacBooks have been able to do in some cases.
Uh-huh.
I wonder if maybe switching to ARM gives Apple the internal design freedom to dispense with those limitations.
I don't know if it's
start
ARM
crafting.
I think you're half right. I think if Apple brings chip production in-house, whether they're ARM chips or not, that's going to be the difference. Go ahead, Charlotte. You tried to jump in
no,
there.
No, I was just going to say the most obvious upgrade that the MacBook range and MacBook Pros are missing, and we said this when the 13-inch MacBook Pro came out the other week, was they've got to sort out the camera.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a... It's
well,
not
I think
a
I figured
highlight.
That. I think I figured that out. Remember in one of the previous TDOs, I talked about 720p as being perfectly adequate for heads up close.
Sure.
A foot or two, because you can't gain any resolution at that range. But what a lot of people are doing is they're putting their MacBooks, Airs, and Pros up on a pile of books, and using it as a long range camera for some sort of event like graduation or a party. And that's where the 720p camera is failing.
Yep.
There's literally no reason in 2020 that Apple should be putting out a top end laptop with a 720p camera.
Yeah.
Well, I think the virus changed the way people were using their computers.
I don't think so.
People were using cameras an awful lot anyway. I mean, people were making.
What is? It's called a FaceTime camera, and it was expected to be used up close.
People were having parties with somebody sitting on a laptop way before we all had to stay home.
And people were shooting YouTube videos a long time before that.
Yeah.
Without wanting to spend, you know, put some money behind a new camera.
Well, then the only other conclusion is Apple's just being a doofus.
I could go with doofus on this.
Okay, we're going doofus. I was going to be generous, but...
I think we're going full doofus on this. Because I think what it is my friend Mike Rose used to call it benevolent neglect. It's fine. You know, nobody who works at Apple are the people who are trying to do an unboxing video or set the laptop on one end of the counter and try to do a cooking show on the other end of the counter with that one camera or whatever. So nobody at Apple is doing this. So everybody at Apple looks at that camera and goes like, I'm sitting 2 feet from my computer. It's fine. And they're not seeing the use case in the rest of it. Right. Because you're supposed to use your iPhone if you're doing anything interesting with a camera. So I think that's the piece that's missing here is that nobody at Apple is seeing the advantage or the use case in doing it that way. I think that's where we're hung
theory.
Up.
I like that theory.
Which, I mean, that's my theory a lot of times. Like, they didn't have, you know, depending on who works on a particular thing, like maybe it's lacking that feature for a very obvious reason. So, John's article is very interesting about the evolution of the MacBook Pro line. I definitely think y'all should check it out. And that's going to do it for us today. So I want to thank both of you for being here. John, as always, thank you so much for coming by.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Charlotte, a pleasure as always. Thank you for being here.
Thanks so much for having me again.
I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. Remember, I will talk to you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.